I'm Christy Greener, and I want to welcome you to the Dare to Believe podcast. And we have the honor of talking today with Donna Da Silva. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
And Donna is from Bethel Church in Reading. She also is one of the mothers of the Sozo Ministry, and that's gone worldwide. And she's an author of how many books?
Five, I think.
Five books. She's got another one brewing in her, and we will be talking about that. But it's so good to have you here.
Yep.
And Donna is the mother of two sons.
Yes, Tim and Corey.
Tim and Corey, who have two beautiful wives.
Yes.
And you have three grandbabies.
All boys.
Yep.
All boys.
Yeah, and I am the mother of two sons, and I have two beautiful daughters-in-law and four grandsons.
Ooh.
So we're raising up godly
men. Come on,
godly men.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, God's got good things for the kingdom when it comes
he
to
does.
Men. Yeah. But Donna's been doing Sozo ministry, and you said 2019.
No. Yeah, we started in 1997.
Yeah. Okay, so that's
Sozo
started. So give a little bit of history mm-hmm. of Sozo. A lot of listeners will know because
right.
we're very connected with you guys and doing a lot of Sozo, but just how did Sozo come about and what is it?
Yeah, so Sozo is a Greek word that means to be saved, to be healed, to be delivered. It's translated in Scripture in any of those ways. But when you see the whole package occurs, then the word is Sozo. So sometimes people are healed, and it's a different word, but when they are saved, healed, and delivered, the word is Sozo. So that's really fun. So years ago, probably in 97, maybe 96, Fred Grewey came, and he was with
Fred
Randy Clark.
Grewey,
G-R-E-W-E. He came as how to be a prayer servant.
Okay.
Right, because when Randy Clark would come to the first time, he would send someone ahead to say, we want to all be on the same page. How are we going to pray? You know, we're not going to scream at demons. We're not going to scream at people. How are we going to pray? And so 1.5 pages in that manual was 10 Steps to Freedom from Pablo Battari.
So, and that is in the Sozo manual.
And that is in the Sozo manual. It's in the back as an appendix to honor him. It has become our four doors. And basically, here's the access points to the enemy. And we took that and called it the four doors because they use it as an evangelistic tool. If someone gets saved, they instantly take them to the tents of deliverance if they're manifesting. And then the steps is, do you want to get saved? Yes or no? No. Okay, then you just bless them, send them home. Do you want to get saved? Yes. Okay, let's say take them through salvation. Do you want to get delivered? Yes or no? No, you don't deliver them. Yes. Okay, now we go through the steps of freedom. So we took it as the four doors, which was our first tool ever.
Okay.
And we started that way. It doesn't work well in American culture. It works really great in Latino culture because in American culture, you get someone to come to the prayer line and then they want to go to lunch. Right. And all the people that brought them there are like, where are you? We don't have an hour and a half, 2 hours for you to walk them through freedom. In Latino culture, they just like, yeah, come on, go get them and we'll have fun and we'll talk to somebody while you're waiting. So there's a different atmosphere that comes in different areas with it. So we just made it the four doors. That was our first tool.
And the four doors are?
Yeah. So in the 10 Steps to Freedom, he talks about four access points to the enemy. So one is hatred. One is fear, one is sexual sin, and one is the occult. And it is the tool where you will renounce those things in your life. You will close the doors to open doors in your life. You know, there are so many things about curses, and, you know, it's like, is there a curse? Is there something? Well, a curse without cause cannot alight. And it's like, okay, we do believe we've seen curses alight on people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like, okay, is it generational? Did someone else open the door? So you have to close doors that maybe you didn't open, but you see it, the evidence of it in your family. Yeah.
And so that began to take root that, okay, you started making appointments at that point?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what first started was we would pray, and I was just, my friend and I, Elaine, we were just part of the team that would take people and take them to the cafeteria, and we would sit around, and we would take them through these steps to freedom. And it was during the Randy Clark conference, and then we kept it up for a while. And people would get up on stage and give testimony of the freedom that they got in our sessions, not necessarily physical healing, but freedom. And they would say, well, who prayed for you? And they would point to my friend and I every time. Nobody else's group would get up and give testimony. We didn't ask them to. And I mean, one lady, it's like filters. She got up and she gave testimony. She's like, yeah, we were walking through the sexual sin door and the Lord showed me that she's married, but all the guys I've slept with, right? During marriage, she's giving this testimony. I'm like, ooh, were trophies. And I had to give God the trophies and say, this, you know, they're not, this isn't my trophy, isn't how many guys I can sleep with and who I can connive into bed. But, and I mean, she's telling this from the front. I'm like, oh my gosh. But she got radically set free of sexual sin because they were trophies for her. And she was like, I repent, God, that I have idolatry in my sexuality.
Wow.
So they were like, and who prayed for you? And it's like, those two. And so in that, Benny Johnson, who was in charge of the prayer servants, pulled me aside and says, hey, we have a woman that's been in therapy with our pastoral counselor, so I'm probably not therapy, counseling, for years, probably 5 years. And she had a horrible background. She had a lot going on in her life. And he says, and we thought maybe we'd have you come. And she said, I'll be your second. Okay, so pause. Sozo usually has a first and a second in the room. The first is the one in charge, mm-hmm. and the second is praying and taking notes and helping you if you are missing something. You look at your second, like, am I missing something? So Benny's like, I'm going to be your second. And I'm like, oh, this lady
and
is getting
free. And also controlling the spiritual atmosphere of what's going on in that session. So you have Benny Johnson controlling the spiritual atmosphere. It's a slam dunk, right?
I'm like, this lady's getting, she is getting free, right? And so the pastor, she would only meet with us if the pastor was there. So her counseling pastor was there, Benny was there, and I was there. And I'm going, all we have is the four doors, the step, you know, and I'm having her renounce. I'm having her break. She's got a horrible background of, I would say it, demonic by design, that her family was literally demonic and hurting her and harming her as a child, you know. So it's like, wow, no wonder, you know, she's been in need of a lot of help. And Benny wasn't helping me. She was going, she was encouraging, like, wow, you're doing great, you're doing great. Probably in the spirit realm she could tell. But we weren't getting the final piece. And I looked at her like, why aren't you helping me? And then this thought came to me, oh, she's not here to help me. She's here to watch. She's here to wonder, what is she doing? Why is Donna and Elaine getting people free when other people doing the exact same tools are not, right?
Interesting.
So then I looked at the counselor, and I'm like, come on, we're missing. You could tell we're missing it by that much. Maxwell's heart, by that much. and I turned to him. He goes, oh, it's okay. She'll be back next week. And what rose inside of me is like, no. I'm like, this lady has been in therapy for over 5 years. Why would we want her to be tormented one more day? And as I turned around to this day, I don't know what I had her repeat after me or renounce or whatever. And she got completely radically set free. And everyone was just stunned. I was stunned. They were all, it was obviously the Holy Spirit, right? Because he knows, he knows. And so with our four doors, with the only tool we had, we were able to release her in the freedom through the Holy Spirit, obviously because of the power of the cross. And when we were all done, Benny takes me outside and says, I give you the mantle of Sozo.
Wow.
So.
And she used the word Sozo?
Yes. I gave you the mantle of Sozo.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because it was, the word was Sozo, saved, healed, and delivered.
Right, but you used that for those type prayers already?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, because it came in that one part. It's like saved, healed, and delivered. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
She gave me the mantle, and I talked to her later about it because she would pass on different, like, intercession to Marla or all these places, and she said what, and dance to our gal that does dance at Bethel. And what she said is, she goes, Donna, I am really good at finding the right people to put in charge. She said she wasn't as good at running it all because that wasn't her job, but she was able to find the person, discern the person, feel it in the spirit, and then watch it and go, yes. So the dance lady has a testimony like that too, because she was pulled inside to talk to Benny and to just dance in front of this group with her, this little women's group. And she's like so excited and, you know, worried at the same time. And then she gets in there and she's like, oh, wait a minute. I'm kind of being tested.
Wow.
You know, she was coming with a presentation, but she's like, oh, this is. And when she was done, Benny anointed her as with the mantle of dance over Bethel as well.
Is that blonde?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because she and she went to school for movement, I guess, you know, like what the move. So Benny would say, would stop her in the, and what, why did you use that movement there? And she would say, and Benny would go, mm-hmm. So she was watching to see, does she understand what she's doing? Or is she following the Holy Spirit? Yes. But does she understand why? And she did. And so she's like, well, then you can teach this because you understand what the movement means.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, we miss Benny.
Yeah, we miss Benny.
Yeah. So then you took it out and began doing it as appointments. Is that where you started taking appointments, or how did that
Yes,
work?
Then we started taking appointments. It was all volunteer. At one point, we had 150 people on our volunteer team.
150?
150 people. And because there's two in each room, that makes 75. You know, we would group with all different people. But we didn't have as many firsts, which people that were brave enough to say, I think God will show up, which, you know, you wonder. You know, is God going to do this? You know, and of course he does, and then he does.
Every time he does.
And then you're like, oh, I guess he can do this.
Yeah, you come to realize God wants people free even more than we do.
Even more than we do.
Jesus did this for a reason, yeah.
Yeah, but we only had the one tool. And so our sessions were about 3 hours a piece, and it was like, wow. So we only did them on Friday nights. And at one point, we were easily 9 months behind on the waiting list because we just... We had people wanting to sign up, and we only had a certain amount. We probably had about 25 firsts that literally would come every week and sozo. And that was my ministry for years. Was I was a mom at home with my little kids, and I was a school teacher part-time and the finance manager at that school. And so Friday night was my night to go, you know, be released to do it. But in that, the Lord took my friend and I, Elaine, to different places, and we learned. And then Teresa came on board, and Elaine bowed out at one point. And so then Teresa and I began running this. And so the what Sozo Ministry is today really took a year or two of God bringing other modalities our way, and then going, oh, we could use that in this way, or we could use that in this way. So I have friends that have done a lot of ministry, and they're like, oh, you took the best of this and you took the best of that. And it one place. Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, we've it's been so since 98, we've been traveling and training.
That's unreal. Wow. 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 So definitely the mother of Sozo.
Yeah.
But also so much more at Bethel. So you have been at Bethel since almost that's longer than that.
Yeah. So 30 years. So what would that be? 30 years I've been at Bethel, so we have to go back to that.
And been in the midst of everything, in leadership right from the start, because Steve was on staff as the CFO.
Yes. So my husband was hired before Bill Johnson to come on staff to be their first ever CFO. Before then, it was bookkeepers, like I was doing at the other job. And then it was like, well, this is such a large entity. Back then, it was AG, and it had, you know, couple thousand people, that you really need a finance guy, you know. And my husband was a CPA, and their auditor said, you really need Steve DeSilva. And so he went and he interviewed for it, and he was going to take a cut in pay as a pastor. But he didn't like auditing. He does great at taxes, but he doesn't really enjoy that because he's very pastoral and you don't pastor numbers very well. And so he said, okay, and interviewed. And my husband, if you know him, he will not assert himself in anything. He will not insert himself.
He will assert.
He will assert, but he will not insert himself. And he gets in this interview with the board, and they said, well, Steve, is there anything else you want to say? And he feels the Holy Spirit rising up in him, right? Now, we wouldn't know then what that was. And he said, yes, God told me I'm going to be your CFO. And then he sits back and he's like, what did I just say? And when they hired him later, they said, we were waiting for someone to tell us that God told us. It was confirmation that they're like, we're going to have these interviews, but it's God's going to compel them, and we're going to bear witness to it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So you knew that you're supposed to be there.
We knew that we knew. Yeah.
And so then Bill Johnson came, and everything shrunk after. Not at first.
Well, they hired Steve.
They hired Steve.
Okay. Knowing that that pastor was going to leave.
Oh, okay.
He didn't know that. But the board knew that.
But they didn't tell him.
They didn't tell him. Uh-huh. And so he gets hired, and within a few weeks, the pastor that was there leaves. And so half the church leaves with him, right? And so Steve is like instantly thrown into the tank of less finances, same bills, and he's just working as best he can. The first part was discovery, like, what are the bills? You know, there are bills that nobody knew were there because they weren't given to the gal yet, and so he's just trying to pay bills. And then we go about 6 months trying to heal just the church itself and the pastors that are still there. And some are leaving, some are staying. Dan Fairley was there from the beginning, so he was there before Steve. Dave Runyon, who's our facilities guy, has been there before Steve. And, you know, all of this is going on, and then Bill Johnson comes, and they're trying to pay bills, they're trying to do everything, and then when Bill comes, another half of the church leaves because they don't like revival. And so we went from, you know, over a couple thousand people down to about 400 people in a series of probably year and a half, 2 years.
And, you know, God always works the best in difficult situations. Yeah. He, I mean, he always works good out of anything negative. So, I, you know, we don't believe God wants his church to shrink, but he wants an alive church.
Yes.
And this is the teaching that came out of that season for Steve is his pray it forward.
Yeah.
And that's some of the best teaching because he... Will you talk about that? Just how Steve prayed into the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we probably could get to that next time.
Okay.
Because we're running out of time.
Okay.
I'm going to pause on that. We'll come back.
Okay. We'll come back.
Okay.
All right. So thank you, Donna, for being with us. And this is, again, this is Christy Grainer. And we're here with Donna De Silva with Bethel Church in Reading and with De Silva Ministries and the Sozo Ministry and lots of other things. But to find you, they go to...
DonnaDeSilva.com.
And it's DeSilva, yeah. So DonnaDeSilva.com. And we encourage you to go to our website, is DTBMN.org, for information about Dare to Believe. We have our podcast online and in all the podcast places, the normal podcast places. So please like us and share us, and we'll see you next time.